Ah, I am so glad that I got people to see, and I'm not, well, I'm still staring at a camera, but there's other things to look at. That's so wonderful. So excited that we're back in church. God is good, amen? Oh, I was hoping you did that, because last week when you did the old tooting horns for the amens, I must say, I better be hearing a lot more amens today, amen? Oh, come on, that's pathetic. Gravy! Wow. That's awesome. I don't care who you are, that's awesome right there, because I love to hear anything this morning. All right, a couple quick things before we begin this morning. I was about to say, gentlemen, if you'll come forward, we're not doing offerings. I was about ready to say welcome and shake hands, and we're not doing that either. So while you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Betty Hutchison texted me this morning. Homer Hutchison fell yesterday. They think he has a concussion. He's in the hospital. He's unable to have visitors, and so Betty has to get her information by texting back and forth with the hospital and calling them to find out what the update is. She said that he's awake, he's alert, he knows what's going on, so the concussion is minor. So please pray for Homer Hutchison. Next Sunday is Memorial Day? Are you kidding me? Where has this year gone? Quarantine. Yeah, I was going to come up and go, hey, why are you guys so far away? Never mind. Another announcement. This Wednesday, we will not be live because we will be open church. Now, that's awesome. That's awesome. However, since the Awana program is over, we will not have a kids program. We've talked about this with our kids workers. In our summer program, we had between 6 and 8, maybe 6 and 10 kids, which was a few of them was the workers' kids. So what we're going to do is we're going to open live for the adults, and you're more than welcome to bring your kids as well. I think Matt is going to continue on with Zoom on Wednesday night for a few weeks just to, what do we do? You know what I mean? What do we do? So we're going to kind of open some of these things slowly back up. I was talking with some of the guys. We're thinking about next Sunday, maybe emptying out Denny's classroom. Since we have a camera, we could put the TV in there where you can still see the service and still hear it. And allow, if you have some little ones, maybe to run around and play in there while you're trying to listen a little bit to a message. Something, anything. We're trying to get back to normal. Unfortunately, life is not going to get back to normal. We're not going to get back to the way things are. So we might as well get used to that because it's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different. So with those things, let's get into our study because we need to finish what's lacking. It never ceases to amaze me when you come to the Word of God and you begin to study. You find out that God's Word literally gives you whatever you need for this moment in time for what you're going through. And I think this passage here, as we finish out chapter 3, really hits home for us right now. So it's been a while, so let me give you a quick refresher, get back into the Thessalonian mindset as we were before we stopped social distancing and all that stuff. In Acts chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, Luke writes this. Paul, when he went in, he went into Thessalonica, and he was there 3 Sabbath days. So he was there 3 weeks, and he, as it were, taught them, responded with them with the scriptures. He gave them, explained them, and proving. It's talking about how Jesus had to suffer and die. Some believed, some didn't, and the information that Paul gave really infuriated some of the Jews, and they tried to stir him up to persecute him, bring him before the courts, and literally kill him, probably, but Paul left. Because of the persecution, Paul left. And he moves on to Athens and then to Corinth. So Paul couldn't stand it. He was in Athens. He couldn't stand it any longer. He wanted to know where their faith was. Because if you're in some place for 3 weeks, right? How long did it take to establish this church? How long has this church been going on? Since, 58? 60 some years. Okay, we've established this church. Paul goes into Thessalonica in 3 weeks, establishes a church, and then he leaves. And this church is supposed to operate on its own. That's crazy, isn't it? So 3 weeks away, he's out, he's gone, and he's thinking about the Thessalonians, and he's like, where is their faith? Where are they at? He didn't even know if they believed truly. So he wanted to know if their faith was real, if it was genuine, if they had faith at all. If the parable of the soils, it was like the soil that fell on stony ground, where the cares of this life choked it out. So he wanted to know. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul says this, therefore, when we could no longer bear it, we were willing to be left behind at Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother, God's co-worker in the gospel, to establish and exhort you in your faith. So Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. He wanted to know where they were at in their faith. So when Timothy comes back to Paul in Corinth, actually, Paul's there 18 months in Corinth, and he gives him this report. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 5, it says that after this, Paul left Athens, went to Corinth, and then when he was in Corinth, Silas and Timothy arrives to give him this report. And this is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. If you're there, Paul says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith. And so it was good news, but Paul understood that the folks in Thessalonica, they were only saved about 3 weeks. Even though their faith was real, they really trusted in the Lord, he knew that they needed to grow. And that's pretty much the whole of everything. We need to grow. And this is where Paul finishes up chapter 3. And so he says, I need to finish what's lacking in your faith. So he wanted to go back to Thessalonica to do that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 10 through 13. We'll finish this chapter up this morning and move on. He says, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase, and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into an exposition on this. Babyface Trammell, would you pray? Amen. Thank you. All right, so now the whole purpose of Paul wanting to return is found in verse 12 and 13. He wanted to make sure that they were increasing, that they were abounding, that they were loving one another and walking blameless before the Lord. He wanted to make sure that they were growing in knowledge and grace and looking more and more like Jesus. And so, but in verse 11, Paul says this, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Paul wanted to get back to him. And so the word direct there, found in the Greek, means to correct, to make right, to make straight. And it has the idea that you're laying out this path and it's straight, you're removing all the obstacles and you're getting rid of the stones and all the rocks and all of those things, whatever, so that your path is straight and smooth. So that there's nothing that's going to trip you up, nothing's going to cause you to get off track, that your path is going to be straight and smooth. Now back in chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says this. He says, because we wanted to come to you, he says, I, Paul, again and again. But he said, Satan hindered us. See, Paul understood and knew that it was Satan that was hindering him. He could kind of discern if God was hindering him or Satan. And so he knew that Satan was hindering him getting back to the Thessalonians. His path was difficult. It was swervy, had some rocks in it or something of that nature. And so he wanted to go back and see where they were at. So the Apostle Paul says, I'm praying that God will hinder Satan. Get Satan out of the way. That's the idea. Paul knew that God was the only one that could overpower Satan. Matter of fact, the angels know that God is the only one that can overpower Satan. Matter of fact, in Jude chapter 9, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, he says this, well, there's only one chapter, but verse 9. He says, the archangel, Michael, when contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses. He didn't presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but he simply said, the Lord rebuke you. See, even the angels don't mess with Satan. And neither should we, really. I mean, if you look in Scripture, there is no passage in Scripture where somebody is actually talking to Satan. You know that? It's amazing. Why do you want to talk to Satan? Now, I know people that want to try to bind Satan. You know, I bind you, Satan, and in hell and in the name of Jesus. And that's great, but do you know what the Bible says? That Satan is not going to be bound. You got to go to the back of the Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Satan is not going to be bound until Revelation 20. When the angel comes with the chains. And so what is he doing now? Well, he's roaming about like Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8. What is he? He's like a roaring lion. Seeking whom he can devour. Wants to gobble up Christians. So he's roaming about. So you're not going to bind him in hell. He's roaming about. So understand this. And I know that there's power in Jesus' name. Get me? I know that. There's power in Jesus' name. But don't use Jesus' name to talk to Satan. If you read Acts chapter 19, you remember the sons of Sceva? They were exorcists and they were casting out demons. And they said, oh, we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. And the demon kind of chuckled and he goes, well, Jesus I know. And the apostle Paul, yeah, I recognize him. But who the heck are you guys? And then he proceeded to beat the tar out of them, and they ran away naked and afraid. So when it comes to things of this nature, Paul recognized that only God can deal with Satan. So why do you want to talk to somebody that you can't do anything about? So we need to talk to God. And Paul understood this. Paul knew that praying, he said, God, get rid of Satan. Get him out of my way. I can't deal with him, but I know you can. Get him out of my way so that my path can be straight. I need to get back to the Thessalonians. I need to grow their faith so that they can be strong. I was only there 3 weeks. I know they're saved. Timothy came to me with a report saying their salvation is secure. But salvation doesn't end it. And this is where a lot of people stop. It doesn't stop at salvation. And that takes us to verse 10. Back to verse 10. Paul says, the ESV says it this way. It says, I need to supply what is lacking in your faith. The New King James puts it this way. It says, I need to perfect or complete what is lacking in your faith. Let me ask you this question. Do you look like Jesus? No, you're not going to answer? I don't know what Jesus looks like, but I can say biblically, we probably don't look like Jesus, myself included. None of us do, because we're not perfect. Because we're still in sinful flesh. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, that's good. I like that. So here's the idea. Since you do not look like Jesus, and I do not look like Jesus, we got work to do, right? Absolutely. So, that's what Paul was saying. You guys aren't perfect. I need to come back and I need to perfect your faith. I need to give you these tools. I need to show you how to grow. I need to give you more information so that you can begin to grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord. And that's the same thing with us. Because I know some people have taken a lot of time off. We've got some good folks in here this morning. But there's probably some of you that's watching me this morning, still in your pajamas, drinking coffee, because you didn't want to get up and come to church. So, now, this is the idea. More and more Christians today live by sight instead of living by faith. And you know what that means? That means you live by what you have in your pocketbook. You live by what you can and can't do, you think. You live by your life. And along comes the coronavirus and just destroys everything of what you think. Here's my life. It's normal. I'll go to my job every day. I'll do what I want to do. And all of a sudden, your job's gone. Now what do you got? Because a lot of people's relationship with the Lord is, you know, when tragedy and trials and things like this happen, people get scared, they get shaken, they get fearful. And we make our judgments based off of feelings, based off of emotions, based off of intuition, rather than the truth of God's Word. And God's Word said in Proverbs, never react out of emotion. Always react based off truth. But that's what we do. We react based off of emotion. We react based off of how we feel. And the Bible says you react based off of truth, based off of the Word of God. We need to learn how to grow our faith. But we need to understand this. And so the question is, what is growing faith? You hear that all the time, right? Oh, you need to grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus. You need to grow. You need to grow your faith. And so do you know what that means? Absolutely. That's a great one. Study. That's a good King James word. But John MacArthur says that faith is this. Faith is the ability to trust in the truth. You got that? Faith is the ability to trust in the truth. All right. So if you have that principle, if you're going to trust in the truth, you first of all have to know what? You got to know the truth, right? If you don't know the truth, how can you put your faith in it? And that's the problem. That's where it starts. A lot of people don't even know the truth, so they can't grow in faith because they're not knowing more truth. So the problem is that we think that we're growing by coming to church. We think that we're growing by doing life groups and Wednesday night and listening to people online and watching them on TV. But that's not growth. Those things are good, don't get me wrong. But if we're going to supply what is lacking, like the ESV, or perfect or complete what's lacking in your faith, like the King James says, then you're going to have to know more truth. And here's the idea. I have to give you more understanding of the truth, right? If you don't know the truth, I've got to give you more of the truth so you can understand it. When you understand the truth, then your faith begins to grow because now you're trusting in more truth. Does that make sense? Okay. So as I begin to expound this, one commentator put it this way. He said, herein is the mandate to teach the Word of God. We need to be teaching the Word of God. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, whatever. He says, if we're going to live by faith, and faith means believing what God says, then the more I know about what God says, the more I know about God, then the more I can believe. Right? And the more I believe, then the more capacity I have to live based on that belief. Too many churches today are given a bunch of fluff and fill. And I like music, but I love to listen to messages, man. I love to listen to people preach and teach and give me the Word of God. And I got to be, you know, grow in my faith. And I need people to teach me too. But I was listening to this guy, and the whole message was about ladders. And I said, ladders? And he's, yeah. I mean, this guy's talking about going up this ladder, and everybody's going up a ladder, and then you're either holding the ladder for somebody going up the ladder, or you're climbing the ladder, and you're growing, and then when you get off the ladder, then you can hold the ladder and help somebody climb up to where you're at. And the whole message, 42 minutes, and I had no clue what he was talking about. I mean, I know the Bible talks about a ladder. There's a Jacob's ladder, right? You ever heard that? I know that verse. But I don't think he mentioned it. Matter of fact, I don't think he mentioned one verse of Scripture at all. I think that was a 42 minutes of my life I can't get back. And I don't mean to harp on people, but it's aggravating when you don't give them the Word of God. Asking people to have greater faith without giving them the truth is ridiculous. How can you trust in something you don't know? And Paul says, you know, I'm going to build your faith. I'm going to have to build up your knowledge of the truth. I've got to get back to you so that I can teach you more, so that you can trust more. And this is us. I've been praying to get back here because I don't know where you guys are. It's like Paul. That's why I say these verses of Scriptures is exactly like us. Because I know some people, and sometimes I've even forgotten what day it is. I've forgotten what day it is. And people are like, hey, did you see that tonight? No, why? Well, it's Wednesday. It was live on, oh, yeah, I forgot. It's Wednesday. I mean, and that's, I mean, if you're not doing something by repetition, we're creatures of habit. We do stuff by repetition. I mean, that's just the way it is. We're creatures of habit, and that's why it's so hard to do a different habit, because if you've been doing this for so long, you're going to keep doing it. So we got to change up to get into a new habit. So anyway, I'm so glad that we're physically here. There's nothing now. God has gotten Satan out of hindering us. Our path is straight. We're back on track. There's some rocks and some pebbles. We still got to remove some of those to get back into full force. But at least we're back into moving forward. And so I'm glad for that. I mean, I don't know, you know, looking into this camera, who's paying attention, who's growing, who's listening. I mean, I don't even know who's snoring out there. Well, come to think of it, some of you snore in here when I'm going live. So that's, anyway. But Jesus illustrates this principle about growing our faith. I mean, we have faith, but it needs to grow. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately, the father of the child, this girl had an unclean spirit. And so he's like, if you can, I know that you can get this unclean spirit out of my daughter. And Jesus said, well, if you can, well, all things are possible if you believe. And so the guy cries out and says what? I believe. Help my unbelief. And that's a beautiful picture of what we're talking about here this morning. See, the father of the girl said, help me know what I don't know. Help me know more truth so that I can trust more. I want my faith to grow. And the idea is he's saying that, you know, I believe based off of something that I know, so I believe. But in my unbelief, teach me more so that I can trust more. And that's the call of the pastor. God says to feed his flock. You know, feed you with God's word so that your faith can grow. The greater trust in the Lord is dependent on greater understanding of who God is, which is dependent on the truth, which is found in God's word, right? How can you trust in a God you don't know? How can you know God if you don't read his word? The greatest information we have about God is found in his word. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. How are you going to grow your faith? The word of God. As a matter of fact, Peter says the same thing. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may what? Grow. How do you grow? Word of God. How do you grow? Word of God. I can't never say that enough. So the idea is what grows? Your faith. Absolutely. Your faith is what grows. My faith or my trust in the truth, right? That's what faith is. You're trusting in the truth. So my faith or the trust in the truth is what's going to grow. And out of that growth, you are going to be more obedient to that truth. That's the beauty of it. That's kind of how you know you're growing. And this is a pastor's prayer. This was Paul's prayer. This is my prayer. And I know it's Matt's prayer as well. We need to be perfecting your faith. We need to be supplying what's lacking in your faith. Everybody has something lacking in their faith. And we need to grow. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you something so that you can grow. Let me illustrate this, if I can. At salvation, somebody, Paul says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somebody down the line says, hey, do you recognize that you're a sinner? Do you know what God says about sin? Sin is anything that goes against the law of God and blah, blah, blah. And you go down the Ten Commandments, ask somebody if they've ever lied or if they've ever stole or if they've ever, you know, looked at a woman or a man with lust in their heart, if they've ever, you know. And then you go down and say, well, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterant, you know, God hater. And you're like, oh, wow. If you stand before God, are you going to be guilty or innocent? Well, according to that, I'm guilty. Okay, well, God says you're a sinner. So at some point, somebody gives you the word of God. And you go down through there and you go, yep, I'm a sinner, I recognize that. And they say, okay, well, Jesus died for your sins. God requires a blood sacrifice, Leviticus 17, 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and God has given it to make atonement for sin. So Jesus was the only one good enough because he's God, right? So, okay, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, so based off of the truth that you have just been told, the Holy Spirit, according to John 16, 18, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. So the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, convicts you, you're a sinner, and then you have an opportunity to respond. Okay, right? So based off of the truth that you've been given, as a little child, there was a room back here and so forth, and I remember the sun coming in on the guy's Bible as he was sitting down there leading me down the Romans road, and I believed that truth, and I understood I was a sinner, and I confessed. I said, Jesus, I am a sinner, I recognize. Forgive me. Save me. And based off the truth, I know I'm saved. But based on salvation, that's all I had. Right? Could I trust in the Lord based on salvation? Well, I did. But that's all. And I go through the coronavirus as a kid. Do you think I'm going to wet my pants? Maybe. Because that's all I have is salvation truth. Then I come along and I say, man, I just feel so alone. Oh, goodness. And then I read in the Gospels that Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will indwell you. The comforter, the helper. And you'll have this helper indwell you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, I believe 16, he says that the Holy Spirit, do you not know that the Spirit of God is in you? So Jesus tells me that the Spirit of God's going to be in me. And the Old and New Testament says, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what? Now I'm never alone. Because I have God indwelling me. Does that make sense? Okay, so not only did I base my salvation off a bit of truth that I understand, but now I know that I'm never alone because there's more truth that I understand, right? And then you come to passages of Scripture like Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, and I think we did this in 2018 talking about don't worry, be happy. And Jesus says, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. God knows that you have need of all these things. Right? Okay, so this is what I'm talking about, growing in faith. Because not only am I saved based off of the scripture I put my trust in. Faith is trusting in the truth. The Bible says Jesus saves. I trust that. I'm never alone because God tells me that, right? And now here's another one for you. Titus 1:2. Paul says, God who cannot lie. So if the Bible says it, I have to believe it because it's true. So I know I'm saved. Now I know I'm never alone. And now I don't have to worry about my life. Bring it on, coronavirus. Amen. God knows I have need of all kinds of stuff and he's going to provide. Yep. Amen? Yes. Okay, so your growing in faith is dependent on your understanding of the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, how can you grow and understand and put trust in something? And going through this thing could be very fearful for some people. But then you would come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, which says, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now you've got another verse of scripture to go, because I know God can't lie, so I don't need to be fearful. Amen? Amen. Okay, so this is what I mean by growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord. So when somebody says, are you growing your faith? Are you growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord? This is what God means. Does that make sense? Completely lost where I was. So, as your faith begins to grow, you're adding and adding and adding. And this is what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 8. He says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. And he goes on to say, to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and you abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if you do what the Bible tells you to do, grow in knowledge and grace, absorb more understanding of the truth, and then apply it to your life, You will always be fruitful in what God wants you to be. You'll always grow in knowledge and grace. So if trusting truth, or if faith is trusting in the truth, according to MacArthur, then when you feel alone, right? When you worry, when you're fearful, when you question whether God's telling the truth or not, then you're not trusting in the truth that has been revealed to you. Does that make sense? So when you worry about your life, you're not trusting in the truth that God has already given you. When you're fearful about what's going to happen, you're not trusting in the truth that God has already given you. When you don't know whether God can tell the truth or not, you're not trusting in the truth that God has already given you. How do I trust what somebody, especially, I'll say this, especially myself, or more especially Pastor Matt, how do you trust what we say? You go to the truth. Amen. Remember this verse, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. The Bible says this, "And the people of Berea, they were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they listened very eagerly to Paul's message." And I will paraphrase and apply it in the Zedeker translation. They will listen very eagerly to Matt and Dan's message. But you need to search the scriptures day after day to see if what we are teaching you is from the truth. Amen? Amen. You can be led astray just like I can be led astray. And if I'm led astray and don't know it, I'll be teaching you and leading you astray. That's why you're to search the scriptures out. Find out what God says. Don't take me at my word. You take God at His. Amen. Amen. We'll close up with this quickly, about the next 45 minutes. You know, in verse Isaiah 55, 11, Isaiah says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. And it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." You know that verse, right? Everybody says that verse all the time. Oh, God's word's going to accomplish the whatever it's supposed to. Well, most of you probably don't read on, take the whole thing in context. But in verse 13, listen to what it says. It says this, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord." You know, the question is this. Back in Isaiah 55, 11, it says, "It shall accomplish God's purpose." What is the purpose of God's word? Because that you'll find the answer. And to that answer, you'll find in verse 13 here. Now, there's some question and debate over it, but as Paul Tripp explains in this metaphor that's given here, the rain that comes down and waters this thorn bush, if rain waters a thorn bush, what are you going to have? Thorns. Bigger thorn bush, right? If rain comes down and waters this briar bush, what are you going to have? Bigger briar bush. But that's not what it says. Do you see what it says? Instead of the thorn, it's going to come up a cypress. Instead of the briar, you're going to have a myrtle tree. Here's the idea in the metaphor. God's word is going to come down and accomplish its purpose. Here's the purpose. God's word has transforming power in your life. Right? The Bible has the ability to take my sinful nature, to take me in my wretchedness, and create a loving, worshiping heart for God. Right? I am a thorn bush. I am a briar bush. And when God's word is allowed to transform my life, now I'm looking more and more like Jesus. It's transforming me to look more and more like Jesus. And that's the question. How quickly are you looking more like Jesus? The transformation is different between many people. And let me finish up with here. How do you know that you're growing? Let me give you some quick points, and we'll close and have a moment of invitation to examine ourselves, get back into our routine. How do you know that you are growing in knowledge and grace? Well, number one is the knowledge of your Word of God growing. Remember at Christmas time? We did the 20 songs of Christmas, and everybody could name them. And then I asked somebody to stand up and do 20 verses of the scriptures. Elaine did, because she was about to do the one for Christmas story. And so the next week, I had to add like 25. But that's the idea. Number one, are you absorbing more and more of the Word of God? Could you stand right now and give 25 verses? Do you know anything? Maybe not quote them from the chapter and verse, but give me the substance of it. Give me a paraphrase, something. That's how you begin to grow, is know the truth. Secondly, do you find a greater confidence in God? When I trust in the scriptures, I know I'm never alone. I don't have to fear. I don't care what goes on. I don't worry about my life. God's got it in my hands. Amen. Right? Takes the fear out of everything. That's so wonderful to have no anxiety, no fear, because God's got a plan for my life. If he wants me to suffer, guess what's going to happen? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. For your honor and glory, I get to suffer. That's what Paul understood. He knew. Do you find a greater confidence in God? And kind of linked with the second one is number three. Do you have a higher trust in God's control? That's what's called his sovereignty. God is sovereign. He is in control of all things. Do you have a better trust in his sovereignty? And then last, is there a definite increase in obedience? That's a big one. You know what? When I trust God more, I'm going to do more because he's in control. I'm going to give more. You know, you can't outgive God. You go all that stuff. I hate to talk about money, but guess what? Not a lot of people give because that's their money. But God says if you give and you're obedient because you love Jesus. Matter of fact, that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. You give because it shows you love Jesus. And so as you grow in your faith, you begin to be more obedient to God's word. You begin to be more obedient and more obedient and more obedient. And that's what's called growing in faith. And I'm so glad that we're back here because I need to supply, I need to complete, I need to perfect what is lacking in our faith. We need to keep growing. And that's what Paul's prayer was. That's my prayer. And I hope it's your prayer. We need to grow. Let's take a moment and examine ourselves and see where we are as far as your faith is concerned. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for our time this morning. Thank you, Father, that we are back in the auditorium. Your church is your people, but this is the place where you have specifically designed for us to meet corporately, for us to come together as a local assembly and praise and worship and give and hear your word and let it transform us from a briar bush to a cypress tree. God, I pray that your word continues to transform your people. And Lord, we've been away for so long. We want to give folks just an opportunity, God, to just come and leave their burdens at the foot of the cross. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him. We know, God, that you care for us. And we trust in that. And so as we give this invitation, Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning, maybe a visitor that's been invited, maybe somebody doesn't know, maybe there's never been a time where they've called out to your son Jesus, asked for forgiveness of being a sinner, and asked them to save him. Let today be that day of salvation. Lord, we just commit this invitation to you, and we pray you have your way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name.